Bloomberg Surveillance with Michael McKee and Tom Keane. On demand via our Bloomberg Radio Plus app. Free for iPhone and Android devices.
Carl Weinberg with a phenomenal note on Japan over the weekend. Dr. Weinberg, good morning.
Hey, Tom. Good morning to you.
With high-frequency economics, it's been a constant theme, the travails of Japan. How bad is it right now?
Well, today is a special day, Tom, and this is no April Fool. We're looking at Japan going over a fiscal cliff as we speak. Today is the first day that the economy has to try to grow without any boost whatsoever from Abenomics. They've run out of cash on March 31st. And at the same time, the sales tax rate has gone up by 3 percentage points, which is going to crimp GDP by about 0.6 percentage point. Right off the bat. Altogether, second quarter growth should be retarded by about 5 percentage points at an annualized rate from what it otherwise might have been.
Will they go into recession because of this tax increase?
Certainly in the second quarter, the economy is going to contract. Now, what's your definition of a recession? Do you have to get two quarters or three quarters in a row? This is going to reduce year-over-year GDP growth by 1.2 percentage points for the first quarter and then 0.6 percentage point in each of the other quarters.
All right.
The underlying potential growth rate is negative already. I think they stand a good chance of contracting for a long time, not just three quarters.
We criticize the U.S. for a great distortion, artificial interest rates. With the distortions of Japan, do their yields drive lower? Or is there not panic, but so much angst that their yields actually go higher?
Well, you know, I can't believe I'm saying this, but I think that there's value in JGBs right now. The logical response to this fiscal cliff is going to be monetary stimulus. That could come as soon as next week's meeting. That means the BOJ is going to buy more bonds. So for the moment, with any upward pressure on prices turning back to deflation with the economy in the garbage can and the BOJ buying even more debt out of the market, I think that bond yields could go down and long-term interest rates could be lower in Japan for the next several quarters at least.
I'm going to put out a chart, folks, of the 10-year Japanese bond, and all you need to know is 0.62%. 0.62%. Even call it 2 years ago, that was at 1%. I think that's about a 38% decline in yield, if my math is quick enough. They're just going to drive these things down to zero. Is that the trend? They just drive lower, note prices up, yields lower?
Yep, and durations on these things are about 9.5. They're very volatile little puppies. So you want to be very cautious with them. But I think that they could drive yields down to zero, especially mm-hmm. with prices dropping back into deflation zone.
Why should our U.S. listeners care about a Japanese economy so distant and so troubled? You called an anatomy of a murder. Why should we care?
Well, let's think back to the tsunami in the March of 2012, all right? And suddenly we realize that we still have a lot of things in our production chain that are made in Japan. And they may not be as many of the consumer goods that were, you know, the big Japanese items in the 60s, 70s, 80s, and 90s, but there are a lot of intermediate goods, like the black paint for those black cars that we like to have, and intermediate assemblies for manufacturing, technology, things like that. Now, the tsunami was kind of like a sudden kaboom. It all happened on one day. And what's going to happen to Japan over the next few decades is going to be spread out more. But we're going to see less and less stuff coming from Japan, and that means we're going to have to find alternative sources for it. I'd actually stick my neck out here and say that that's a potential windfall for us, because any alternative to something made in Japan mm-hmm. is going to be something made in China or Southeast Asia. It's going to be cheaper. So it's a chance for us to change supply relationships that otherwise it wouldn't pay for us to do. But that's a long-term play here. Japan also owns a lot of U.S. treasuries. They're not going to sell them overnight. We're not going to get a big boom out of Japan.
Right.
But we will see them being less of a buyer. They're actually sellers already. And we'll see them less important in our financial markets.
With your international prism, Carl Weinberg, what does this mean for policymakers in the United States? If Japan is so troubled, if China's slowing down, what does it actually mean that we do or change in our broader macro policy?
Well, I don't really see fiscal or monetary policy changing as a result of this. I think maybe you want to think about trade policy and think about, you know, the relationship with China and the relationship with Japan. And one is what the Japanese call a sunset relationship, and the other is a sunrise relationship. And I think that Japan's economic decline, the contraction of its population, the absolute decrease of, in the size of its economy that must follow a reduction in its working age population, these all things, all these things drive the United States to build a bigger relationship with China's exploding economy, and it's a power shift. It's a change in our trade relations.
David Tepper, Warren Buffett, and others go to billionairesportfolio.com for their free little black book on how billionaire investors beat the market. Michael McKee and Tom Keene with us. Carl Weinberg, as we look at global investing. Carl, whither emerging markets? Is the BRIC concept dead?
No, I don't think so. I think that right now the whole world economy is in a funk. The BRICS are being hit by some capital flow issues that are short term. But, you know, if we've learned anything from this experience with Russia and the Ukraine and, you know, the big panic that we had over emerging markets a few months ago, it's that every emerging market is a different story. And I'm no expert on emerging markets, but I think that you have to evaluate every case, every set of circumstances individually. Certainly, Turkey's woes are different from those of Russia, are different from those of the Ukraine, are different than those of Brazil. So you really have to go on a case-by-case basis.
Let me go back to Japan and ask about a question I was posing just before the break. And you and I were talking about this a little bit yesterday. They knew they were going to run out of stimulus now, and they also knew that the tax increase was coming on April 1st. So presumably they know they're going to throw the economy into recession and they have a plan to deal with it?
Well, you know, they've seen it coming, but the whole point of this exercise with the sales tax is that their public sector finances are tapped out. Their debt ratio is rising without limit. And they've seen this coming for a long time, too. So there's really, you know, only a least bad solution to dealing with their fiscal problems. At some point, they're going to have to swing their public sector primary deficit, that's their deficit net of interest payments, from a current deficit of about 10% of GDP to a surplus of about 7 or 8% of GDP just to stabilize their debt ratio. And they've seen this coming forever. So that is, I think, more imperative now. That's the object of this exercise, and there's no way to do it without killing the economy in the short, even in the medium term.
Well, what does that imply for their external relations, shall we say, for the stock market there and for the yen?
Well, you just got to, you know, you got to start thinking about the Nikkei with a deep breath. You know, a lot of people made a lot of money in the Nikkei in the last year, but as we well know, past performance is no guarantee of anything. We've got a country with a labor force that's shrinking. All right, so you don't have to be an economist to know that if you're withdrawing labor from the economy because they're retiring or for whatever reason, all right, the amount of output you're going to get is going to go down, and that's immutable. So we therefore have to think about Japan as an economy that's shrinking. And how are stocks likely to perform in an economy that's shrinking? Well, they're not going to really have a big drive from demand to increase their top-line sales and to boost their profits.
Carl, thank you so much. Carl Weinberg with High Frequency Economics.
Bloomberg Surveillance, weekday mornings at 7 Eastern. In New York on Bloomberg 1130. In Boston on 1200 AM and 94.5 FM HD2. Or on SiriusXM Satellite Radio, Channel 119. Copyright 2014, Bloomberg LP.